I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come back.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, are the Warriors just toying with the Portland Trail Blazers? What we saw in game number one coming up here on the show in just about 18 minutes from now. But the story of the day is Zion Williamson as the New Orleans Pelicans win the number one draft pick overall and will inevitably draft the Duke super duper star. And I feel good for New Orleans, because I felt bad for them after the NFC Championship game. They was robbed. That city, who loves its Saints more than anything, was robbed. They wanted answers from the league. They got none. They wanted answers from the commissioner. They got none. The Super Bowl was played and they weren't in it. They didn't watch. Their city newspaper the next day after the Super Bowl, a blank front page of the sports section. What game? Their basketball team, rudderless, lost at sea. Anthony Davis, the only thing worth coming to the stadium for, wants out, turned his back on the city, demanded a trade. It was a death march. They knew, everyone knew, that the basketball team would lose its greatest player ever. And nobody had the Pelicans winning last night's draft lottery because the numbers weren't in their favor. And yet there they were last night with a big old cauldron of New Orleans voodoo bubbling since late January, waiting to call in a sports god for a favor and a redo. And they got it. And now they get Zion. And as I mentioned, you know, Anthony Davis could do worse than sticking around in New Orleans, at least for a season with Zion. Zion, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis for one season until AD becomes a true free agent. You could do worse. Yeah, you could get traded to the Celtics. You could get traded to the Lakers. You could get traded somewhere else. But the bounty of draft picks and young assets that it will take to pry you out of there is going to leave the cupboard relatively bare for wherever you join. Carmelo Anthony did this. Carmelo was such a dope. Carmelo could have easily left in the offseason as a free agent and joined the New York Knicks, and they would not have had to trade away all of those young players. But instead, he wanted his way right away. And the Knicks brass, namely James Dolan, got itchy. And Donnie Walsh, their GM, said, slow play it, slow play it. We'll get him in the offseason. He wants to come here anyway. Let's not trade the pieces now. And James Dolan, his fire-breathing, idiotic self, said, no, we must get him now. And they did. And the Knicks were worse off for it. They got Carmelo, but look what they had to give up. They took all those pieces and shipped them away, and Carmelo was left with a lesser roster to win with. But hey, Carmelo got his way. AD, think about it. Let this year unfold. Play alongside Zion. That's not so bad. See how it works out, and then sign somewhere in the offseason if you want. Or if it's really going bad and you want to sign this max deal to wherever you ended up getting traded to so that you have that supermax on the table for yourself, okay, do it at the trade deadline. See how it works this year with Zion. The big losers last night, though, the Knicks. Because Knicks fans are always losers. Because their franchise has given them nothing but losing. Which is why I feel kind of bad. I feel kind of bad, although I laugh at them sometimes as well. Because Knicks fans are so delightfully delusional. They wake up every single day like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, and they hear the same song, I want you, babe. And they think that it's going to be a different day. And it's not. It's not. And I kind of don't have the heart to tell them, because I'd rather them just be happy in this pleasant little bubble. But it's not going to be any different, because the owner's not different. The culture of the Knicks is so dysfunctional, and I think people maybe outside of New York don't realize how dysfunctional it is. But I have people around the league that have worked for the Knicks or worked around the Knicks or worked for other franchises and have sources within the Knicks. You have no idea just how dark and gloomy it is in there. It is a fortress of paranoia led by King Bozo. Everybody inside that organization worries about when the hatchet man is coming, because you can't trust anybody. Because James Dolan keeps around his allies who are only in it as survivors. You get paid really well to be in there. And in New York City, you could do far worse than working in there. And MSG is not just the New York Knicks. It's an entertainment conglomerate. And so when you have your fingers in there, it's not only basketball. There's the NHL. There's Radio City. There's concerts. There's all the events of the Garden. There is Madison Square Garden's Big East Tournament. There is all of these other things that you get to have your fingers in. And so the people that run the Knicks aren't basketball people. The people that make decisions within the Knicks aren't basketball people. And it'll never be that way. It'll never be that way because James Dolan is purely dysfunctional. Now, last night, look, it's not James Dolan's fault. It's not the front office's fault. They just didn't get number one. But Knicks fans, you know what you're waking up to every single day. It's the same song. It's the same day. It doesn't change. And all of these broken dreams along the way, well, no, you know, Phil's going to fix it. Well, no, Carmelo's going to change things. No, Amari Stoudemire's the first piece. No, you know what? Kristaps Porzingis is the unicorn. No, Kevin Knox is a really good player. I mean, last night I'm hearing it again. Don't worry, we got the better Duke player. Stop. Zion Williamson was the gold standard last night. He was the gem. He was the gem. And don't even try to come at me that R.J. Barrett's going to be a better pro. Well, look at his numbers. Look at his numbers. His numbers were almost as good as Zion last year. Man. Oh, a year ago, R.J. would have been the number one pick of the draft. So what changed? Well, I mean, you know, Zion just dunks a lot. No. No. No, 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 no. Zion has this complete package of stardom written all over him, and not just because he dunks. His passing ability, his court vision, his rebounding, his facilitating an offense, his basketball intelligence, his teamwork, his humility, his coachability. Oh, and by the way, he can rip off the craziest dunks we've ever seen. I've been doing it for 5 years. It's a different animal than R.J. Barrett. Don't even come at me. Oh, R.J. Barrett would have been the number one pick last year. Stop. Stop. End. Stop. He's not Zion. He's not the better pro. He's not the better pro prospect. He's not on that level. Because when Zion went down, Barrett didn't do the same things that Zion did in that offense for that team. He didn't. And we must remember that. Now look, the Knicks might end up going out and getting Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant wants to be in New York, and that would be a huge coup. Maybe they get Kyrie as well. That would be a huge coup. But there is so much rationalization that surrounds the Knicks fan. Don't worry, it's almost going to be great. I'm sure it's going to be great. It's coming. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. But this is the... Nope. No, no, no. No. What gives you the belief it's going to be different? It's been the same way for 20 years because the bozo at the top is the same guy for 20 years. The bozo at the top hires everybody else, and everybody else is bad at their jobs, and they're looking out behind their shoulder because there's a culture of paranoia and not making it about basketball or long plays or rebuilds or whatever. I mean, not very long ago, Porzingis was supposed to be the centerpiece of the redemption of the Knicks. He's not even on the team anymore. R.J. Barrett is not Zion. He will never be Zion. And that is the truth. That is the truth unfiltered. KD and Kyrie, now that changes things. That changes things. But when KD and Kyrie show up, if they do, does the front office know what to do with them? Do they have to? Do you have to have any basketball intelligence inside the front office as well? Does the owner have to stay out of the way? Does he have to understand? Do they all have to understand how to surround Kevin Durant with the right pieces because Kevin Durant just himself can't do everything? Yeah, that's part of it as well. That's part of it as well. And so last night, the huge losers, once again, Knicks fans and the Knicks, because forever, they are just a doomed lot in life. It's just what it is. Haven't won a lottery since 1985, and they've been in a few of them. Happened again last night. Not even a top two for Ja Morant. Come on. Also, you know, the Hawks, they had these designs of Zion Williamson, maybe Dominique Wilkins, Redux. The Cleveland Cavaliers had designs. Oh, here comes a new LeBron to save us. The Chicago Bulls had designs. Oh, a new Michael Jordan. No, 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 no. There were a lot of losers last night. A lot of losers. Basically one winner. The Pels. And then everybody else was like, okay, it's not terrible, right? Like, today is the day of rationalization for 29 other teams. Well, I mean it could have been worse. No, couldn't have been worse. He didn't get Zion. That's the bit from last night. When we come back, are the Warriors toying with the Blazers? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA.
Damon Amendola.
That's what I appreciate about you. You're progressive, you're smart, you're a thinker, intelligent, good dressed or well dressed.
On CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always listen to the show if you missed anything or want to hear it again via podcast on radio.com or on iTunes or other places podcasts are available. We archive all the shows there, full hours. Just search DA and CBS. But also, we've got a PGP that's out, Permission Granted Podcast. We wrapped that up yesterday. That's the show about the show within the show. And yesterday, me and Bogish broke down a day without the Thicktator, where we celebrated his birthday with balloons, with a Fudge of the Whale cake, with festive birthday hats, and one huge freeze. plus permission granted profiles has the thick tater going inside Kenny Brock's recent engagement. A kinder, friendlier Kenny Brock, a usually very angry man from Philadelphia. So that's all this week's PGP permission granted podcast everywhere that podcasts are available. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. And that is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mike is in Binghamton, New York, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, DA.
What's up, buddy?
I was listening to you as I do my deliveries for work. And I just wanted to let you know the Rumble Ponies had a header in mid-morning today, and guess who was on that radio? They cut you off for Jacob Wilkinson.
So the voice of the Rumble Ponies, Jacob Wilkins, who was once one of the voices of the Chicken Challenge here on the DA show, cut us off this morning?
That is correct. And I had to listen to the radio.com app, so don't worry, I was still listening to you.
Well, thank you for doing so. So you're telling me Rumble Ponies, Rumble Ponies pregame cut us off?
Yep.
What time was that?
I believe it was at 11. I went inside to do the one delivery. I thought you guys were making fun of them, but then I realized it was an actual game.
Yeah, so you were through the looking glass here. This was, oh, they're just playing a Jacob Wilkins clip. Oh, no, wait a second. This is actually Jacob Wilkins. Now, how early do they do Rumble Ponies pregame here? 11 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, they got a doubleheader or something? I mean, is it like a one-hour Rumble Ponies pregame?
We need to get those buses back.
Here in the top bottom of the fifth.
I mean, wait a minute.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. 11 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, we got preempted in Binghamton for Rumble Ponies baseball?
All right.
By Jacob Wilkins.
And now he is twerking his face.
And the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp win.
The Jumbo Shrimp win, of course.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what the ratings are for these Rumble Ponies pregame shows. Is it like the Super Bowl? They got like a six-hour pregame show? What's going on here? Even if it's a half-hour pregame show, it's too long.
I don't think all the pregame shows they do will combine for the rating for the Super Bowl.
So was this a 11 a.m. first pitch for the Rumble Ponies? That's an early start for baseball.
Probably 11:15, maybe.
What are they starting at 11:15 for? Rumble Ponies versus Jumbo Shrimp? What's going on?
They need the field. We have a concert on it tonight.
They got a concert, yeah. Okay. So we got to make sure Jacob Wilkins of the Rumble Ponies clear the field for the big concert coming up later on tonight in Binghamton.
Yeah.
Norman, yeah, Ja Rule concert. Norman tweets, would you please bring back Huge Freeze during the upcoming football season? Maybe pick either the NFL or college football for Mraz and him to choose from. Have the listeners decide the fate of the loser with a punishment that will go down in history of the mothership. Norman, look, I would love to do so. You know me and Huge Freeze. I think he always adds something to the table. I think the fact that he brought yesterday, a Fudgy the Whale cake, and he was on cake cam for the entire show, taunting Mraz with his ooey gooey chocolate fingers, eating six full slices of ice cream cake yesterday. Once again, proves just how much of a commodity he is and what a valuable asset he is to the DA show. You're not going to.
But if I ever tell you about Maxine, you only say I don't know what I know.
Not to mention that he's an American songbird for a new generation. So I am all in. But rules are rules. I mean, he's been banned for life. I don't know how to get around that besides some random him speaking off mic because Bogus's mic is on in a Trash Tuesday. There's just not many ways I can finagle this bad boy. The only way we can do this is Mraz has agreed to a duel. He wants a joust, and he says if he wins the joust against Huge, Huge is done for good, but if Huge defeats Mraz in a joust, he will allow Huge Freeze back on the DA show in limited form. So I think that's the only way to do it. We need to set up a joust. And preferably, it's for death. I'd prefer this, considering there's going to be no loophole if one of these guys dies. You know, let's really do it. Let's put spiked knives on the end of this joust, something that would really kill them. And so there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's a very clean decision. I don't then have to go, well, I mean, there's a loophole here, and when the mic is off here. No. If Huge Freeze dies, he dies. And then, so he's never going to come on. And if Mraz...
There is freedom within. There is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge of a paper cup.
And if Mraz dies, we need a new producer anyway. So it just feels like it's a cleaner solution to this whole thing. So I think Mraz is onto something. We'll have some type of joust to the death. And that will decide everything. There's going to be nobody looking over each other's shoulder. I mean... Unless you just can't puncture the belly of Huge Freeze, which I suppose is possibly on the table as well. I don't know.
Oh.
He's a Chick-fil-A red card member, so that's certainly in play. A flak jacket full of just Chick-fil-A cards.
My God.
Last night was far too easy for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm going to keep banging this drum. Portland, you got to wake up. I'm going to give you this mulligan after last night because it was game number 7, an emotional game on Sunday to turn around, be on the road, tough place to play on a Tuesday night. And the Warriors had time off, which was also, by the way, hey, Houston Rockets, you screwed us all over. Because had you at least taken the Warriors to 7 games by winning your home game, at the very least, both of those squads last night would have been on the same rest. But you didn't. You let us all down. But you can't leave Steph Curry open like that. You cannot allow him to have free looks, open shots. You've got to make his life hell. And so defensively, look, the Warriors did to the Blazers what the Blazers need to do to the Warriors. Crowd Steph. Bump him around. Make it physical as much as you can in 2019. And just make sure you're closing out defensively and not letting him just bomb from deep range with clean looks. Because you're gonna die. You'll die like Mraz in a joust. It can't happen like that. Now, series is not over. It's a road loss, whether they lost in 3 overtimes or lost like they did last night. My problem is... to anybody that seems to think that the ease with which the Warriors win is not a problem, it is. It absolutely is. Let me read to you a passage from the East Bay Times. Quote, what would have happened if the Warriors actually tried Tuesday? In game 1, Golden State turned in what was effectively a lax regular season effort. They still beat the Blazers by 22. What would have gone down had the Warriors played more than 5, maybe 10 minutes of focused playoff caliber basketball? Would they have only won by 20, 30? How about 40? End of quote. And this is a team without Kevin Durant on the floor. Don't tell me the Warriors have been good for basketball. They can put out a lax regular season, apathetic effort, and still win by double-digit points in the Western Conference Finals. I realize extenuating circumstances, the Blazers, short rest, have been here before, etc., but yeah, this is really good for basketball. A team can go through the motions and still win by double digits in the Conference Finals. Really good for basketball. Yeah, that's really good. All right, when we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut. Plus, we've got your epic fail.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the DA. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
38 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We thank you for being with us on a fine Wednesday. As always, you can listen to the show on any device, especially your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, radio.com or Apple Music if you want to stream the show. Or you can also watch the show on your phone using watchda.com, and that's free. Absolutely, though, listen to our wonderful affiliates across the CBS Sports Radio Network and SiriusXM Channel 206. Breaking news out of the NFL. New York Knicks and Jets fans barely had time to digest last night's lottery before hearing that the front office has been cleaned out. Adam Schefter reporting the New York Jets have fired Mike Maccagnan, their GM, and their VP of player personnel, Brian Heimerdinger. NFL Network reporting that right now Adam Gase will be made the acting general manager. Well, that's a doozy.
Oh, okay.
So you're telling me only hours after the New York Knicks lose out on the Zion sweepstakes, the New York Jets have cleaned house and Adam Gase's eyes is now running the front office.
Adam Gase's eyes, they're watching you. They see your every move.
That's too many.
Adam Gase's eyes, they're watching you. Adam Gase's eyes, they're watching you.
Watching you.
Watching you. Watching you.
Look, it's not crazy for a professional sports organization to go through a draft with a certain general manager already in place only to fire him afterwards because the GM has collected all of the information on the draft picks and the scouting department. And if you fire your GM before the draft, oftentimes there's not enough time for the new GM to reset everything based on all the information you've brought in over the years, and at least that calendar year. But let's face it, this timing is still bizarre. It is now mid-May. You're now a couple of weeks removed from the draft. Let's face it, the timing right now is bizarre to make Adam Gase any part of the front office immediately. The New York Jets have released a statement just printed out, handed to me right now. This morning, this is from Chairman and CEO Christopher Johnson today. This morning, I informed Mike that he was relieved of his duties as GM of the team effective immediately. Mike helped to execute the strategic vision of the organization during the last four seasons and especially the last few months. However, I came to the decision to make a change after much thought and careful assessment of what would be the best long-term interest of the Jets. I will start a search for our new GM immediately. In the interim, Coach Gase will be the acting GM. I would like to thank Mike for his time and efforts during this tenure, and I only wish him the best for him and his wife, Betty. Well, how long is this search going to take? Because it's mid-May. And you've just signed Le'Veon Bell, and you've just used a top-five pick in the draft. And you've just spent money at linebacker in the offseason. And now you're going to bring in a guy who is inheriting a first-year head coach within the organization. Gase, of course, has been a head coach in Miami, but that now creates a really awkward situation where the new guy inherits the new coach. The new GM can't fire Adam Gase. Can't bring in another guy. Gase is your head coach. So now you're doing it backwards yet again. And this is such a staple of losing franchises. When you don't put the cart in the right order with the horse, the owner hires the general manager, who then hires the front office staff, who then hires the coach, and it works that way, that flow chart. But now the guy picking the players has inherited the head coach who just left a franchise that they had some success. I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre. And again, the timing is weird. I mean, I don't know what happened with Mike Maccagnan. There must be something behind the scenes because I would think if you're going to let Mike Maccagnan spend money on Le'Veon Bell and spend money in the offseason and draft Quinnen Williams and go through this entire draft, I would think at that point in time, and hire Adam Gase, by the way, hire a coach as well, I would think at that point in time you'd say, let's see how these moves end up this season. And if they end up blowing up in your face, okay, you can fire Mike Maccagnan. This is bizarre timing. Extremely bizarre timing. The Jets this morning have fired the two heads at the top of the front office, Mike Maccagnan, the GM, and the VP of player personnel, Brian Heimerdinger. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let that sink in. It's time now for your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Timothy in Los Angeles tweets in, DA, do you think the Lakers should trade this number four pick, get some pieces to help out LeBron? Well, depends on what your goal is here. Is your goal the quickest fix possible and trying to win a championship with LeBron right now? Or is it using LeBron almost as a bridge with young players to get them to a level where you're a consistent championship contender even after he retires? Look, LeBron's there for, we know, three more years. Who knows if he's going to play basketball beyond that? Who knows if he wants to play basketball beyond that? Who knows if the Lakers want him beyond that? The Lakers probably do because he's a star. They love stars to sell tickets. But you're looking at a three-year window right here for LeBron. If you want to win right now and try to win with LeBron, then yeah, trade away the number four pick and try to bring something back. Maybe you use that to package getting Anthony Davis. That's certainly on the table. The Lakers are better today served trading for AD with that number four pick than they were yesterday. That's not number 14. It's not number 12. It's not number 10. You got the number four pick in the draft. That's good. But if I'm the Lakers and I want to be a consistent winner, using the number four pick and combining it with the young players I already have on the roster, Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, etc., is the better long play. My guess is this just gets dropped into the bucket in the trade for AD. That's my guess. But there's no guarantee that the Lakers will be able to trade for AD. No guarantee. But I think they're immediately thinking about trading it right now. So, yes. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut this morning.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Darren Woodson says Dak Prescott's going to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys. Woodson appeared on Dallas radio and said that, quote, Dak Prescott is a guy that's going to win a championship for this football team. I'm telling you right now, he's going to win a championship for this team. I see his work ethic. He's the first guy in there, the last guy out. He's helping players out. He's throwing routes. There's a lot that he's doing. It's almost like that Michael Irvin feel when he's around. You know what he's giving you and the time that he's putting in. I like Darren Woodson. I know he's going to want to raise the pom-pom for the Cowboys. But to me, this is a silly statement. Number one, saying Dak Prescott is going to win a championship for this football team and kind of guaranteeing it, I think, is silly. Because the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years. So to guarantee anything about an organization that hasn't won in a quarter century, I think is foolish. But number two, the examples that he gives are not reasons that the Cowboys can win a Super Bowl. I don't care if the quarterback is the first guy in. I don't care that he's got a great work ethic. That doesn't translate to championships. It certainly helps. You can't have a lazy guy. But a lot of quarterbacks have good work ethic. A lot of quarterbacks are first one in, last guy out. Guess who else is first guy in, last guy out? Eli. You think he's winning a championship right now? Of course not. Now, he has in the past, but there's a lot of different things that have to go into a quarterback winning a championship. How is he under pressure? How is he elevating a team when the rest of the team isn't as good as it needs to be? How is he in two-minute situations, late-game situations? Is he good enough to go through all the routes, make all the throws? Can he be a guy that goes on the road and wins crucial playoff games? Those are all things that I need to hear about Dak Prescott before I can say he's definitely going to win a championship, or C, versus, man, he's got great work ethic.
What?
Matt Ryan didn't have great work ethic? Aaron Rodgers doesn't? Come on. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, these guys don't have the great work ethic? Ben Roethlisberger? No, they just go out there and play. I mean, all of these quarterbacks do. All of them. I mean, you think Patrick Mahomes, no work ethic? All of these guys have work ethic. That's not a differentiator when it comes to a quarterback. He's helping guys play. He's throwing routes. A lot of quarterbacks are throwing routes. Come on. There's a lot he's doing. What? What exactly beyond he's there for a long time and throwing routes? Because I need to see this before I can guarantee this guy is winning a Super Bowl.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line this morning. Your epic fail of the morning is actually an epic win last night with the Zion Williamson lottery going the way of the New Orleans Pelicans. An unbelievable video went viral last night. And that is the video cam, the live feed of the reaction of the Pelicans sales department seeing that they just won Zion. It was perfect.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The best reaction from the Pelicans was not Alvin Gentry, was not David Griffin, certainly was not Zion Williamson. It was the marketing department. Here is their reaction as they learn they're winning the Zion sweepstakes. That was not a bunch of drunk fans outside of Bourbon Street. That was like 35 salespeople.
What would you say you do here?
I am good at dealing with people.
Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
I could just imagine one of them stealing that Pelican mascot suit, getting in it. I could see somebody kidnapping King Baby Cakes.
Oh my God.
You gotta see this video. These people absolutely lose their mind. It's like if Dunder Mifflin found out they had all won Powerball.
I love it!
It's just working class America melting down. My second quarter is going to be amazing. I can finally afford the payment on the Stratus.
What if you were offered some kind of a stock option equity sharing program? Would that do anything for you?
No refinance for me. Honey, we can afford to put in the above ground pool. Pelican sales team.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
My goodness, the morning that has been in sports. I mean, did the Jets do this knowing that they can get covered up by the Zion reaction around New York? Oh, look, Knicks fans are talking about how they didn't get Zion. Let's now fire everybody in the front office. They have promoted Adam Gase to GM, and there have been reports that Gase and Maccagnan were clashing and butting heads. So Adam Gase won. Now, they better hire a GM. But here's the problem. You're hiring a GM that has to fit around the head coach because you have already dictated that the head coach is going to win. We saw Adam Gase's crazy eyes. Crazy eyes just won this first battle. You can't allow Gase to be the GM as well. No coach outside of Bill Belichick in the NFL should be able to also control the personnel. It's too much. It doesn't work. Coaches can't do it. It's too much on one person's plate. It's too much influence. Only Belichick should be able to do it. And Belichick doesn't have the official title of GM, but he is. There was a power struggle within the Jets organization, and they chose Crazy Eyes in mid-May. This is so Chris Johnson. This is so Jets. This is so that ownership, and this is a backward way of doing it. You let that front office hire Gase. You let that front office spend the money in free agency. You let that front office make all the draft picks, and then you fired them a couple of weeks later. What is that? To make sure they don't have friction with the head coach? This is just the utmost bizarre Jet situation. And we leave it on that. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer of the DA Show, filling in for Mraz this week. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm out today. I'm out tomorrow and Friday. I'm heading to Texas for a couple days with the Bourbon Bell. I'm back on the air on Monday from Austin, Texas. So I will see you then. Of course, I'll continue tweeting about the madness around the Jets. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.